We believe Washington is quietly rebuilding its monetary system around gold, collateral, and selective devaluation. The dollar stays central for trade, but no longer defines value. Gold is shifting from opposition to the dollar to foundation.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Gold Market Rundown. It's 8:23. Yesterday, the big news that came out intraday was silver was officially added as a critical mineral to the critical mineral list, which means we have a license to hoard it, a license to own it, and all other kinds of licenses to subsidize it, for example, along with copper and uranium and other metals. Pretty much all metals are critical minerals now, so start saving your nickels. We're going to talk a little bit about today on the lower right-hand side, golden charged U.S. dollar in a mercantilist world. That's a piece that we put out this morning. We've been working on for about a month, and it started out as a five predictions of where we're going to go. And last night we read something from a mutual on X, Kim Gitz. We included her link in this. And it all just snapped into place. Like, it was the missing puzzle piece. And the missing puzzle piece was a conclusion that we came to after reading her quote, which we'll show as well. And the conclusion is the U.S. knows the dollar's dead, knows it, and is preserving what status it can. It's giving up store of value status to preserve medium of exchange or currency status. It's really a brand. There's nothing left to it if this comes to bear. All right. So before we go through that rather depressing conclusion that I came to, here's the markets. 10-year yields are unchanged, bid at 409. The dollar is 99.59, down 10. The S&P 500, 66.98, down 39. NASDAQ is 25.07, down 200. The VIX is up 1, gold is up 20, silver is up 59, copper is up 1.5, WTI up 37, natural gas down 10, and you can see the rest. So if you look at a four-day trading period on the week, what did you have? You had a very bizarre behavior for gold and silver. They're up when the dollar's up. They're down when the dollar's down. There's no geopolitical tension. There's concerns about recession. There's concerns about stagflation. There's good news. There's bad news. But overall, when you compare it to what happened on Monday, you know, the dive, or I think it was Monday, the dive, the big dive in stocks, where gold went with it. Well, gold's recovered and it's been choppy, but it's in a range around 4,000. And stocks have recovered somewhat, but have some serious headwinds to the next leg of the rally. For what reason, we don't know. We opined on it. The repo problem, right? The liquidity problem, which is real and it's still there, but the market is not looking at it as a crisis, at least not of yet. We think that the Fed is being slightly punished or put on alarm or alert for not stopping QT in November. I think they're stopping in December. And so the market is stressing out about that. But maybe the Fed just doesn't really have a put for us right now, and we need to grow up a little bit. Anyway, so that's the markets, and that's a take on the markets. It's Friday. We're 4,000. Comment about silver. Little by little, China's silver is just being made unavailable for future leases. The LBMA is probably going to be on its own if they can't find silver from an actual source. Okay, golden charge, U.S. dollar in a mercantilist world. We spent about 2 hours on this morning refining it. Hopefully, it's readable. Here's what it is. Washington is, we believe, right? It's always we believe. We believe Washington is quietly rebuilding its monetary system around gold, collateral, and selective devaluation. The dollar stays central for trade, as in that little picture there, but no longer defines value. Gold is shifting from opposition to the dollar to foundation. First through LBMA exposure, we're seeing this glide path. Then U.S. accumulation, that's a second prediction that we have. Revaluation and hedging. And that ring there in that picture, that's gold holding it all together. I'll bring that picture up. So there's the picture that we're kind of describing here. The strategy forms a managed, believe it or not, mercantilist network where nations trade via stablecoins and collateral rather than credit. The U.S. accepts a multipolar world, keeping the dollar as the hub currency. But without real exports or surpluses, this gold-backed framework risks becoming hollow, strong in appearance, weak in production. That's the uneasy truth behind the coming gold realignment. So this picture, if you will, is the guts of a two-tiered monetary system. Now, we're not saying this is what's going to happen, but we are saying this is the glide path of what will happen. The U.S. recognizes that the dollar is no longer a store of value amongst at least 25% of the trade in the world. We'll call that the BRICS. And so they must relinquish and accept the multipolarity coming. Nations want their own currencies to be used in trade. They want to determine their own fate. They want their currencies to reflect truly their economic strength or weakness. So we have to assent to that. What will we do knowing that that's happening? Because this is the key. We know it's happening. There's no winning. There's only preserving market share. Well, we have to give up the U.S. dollar. We have to split money. Store of value, medium of exchange, right? Two definitions of money. We've got to, if we want the U.S. dollar to continue to be the medium of exchange, we must relinquish store of value. And we do that by adding layers. And in doing so, you create a two-tiered monetary system or the potentiality for one. So what do I mean by that? The U.S. dollar remains the hub. It remains the currency that matters most, but it's wrapped in a stable coin. And that stable coin lessens the need for credit, obviates settlement, and creates collateral. And that is the spokes of the wheel, so to speak. It creates liquidity from U.S. to Saudis, from U.S. to Japan, and Saudis to Japan, back and forth, et cetera, et cetera. Within, and that's our CBDC. There's no CBDC per se, but stablecoins are our corporate CBDC. The other countries, and this is the Machiavellian part, the other countries have CBDC, and they create a two-tiered system within. Think about Europe. CBDCs, the digital euros, what everyone's going to use in the country, in the trade block. But outside the trade block, they will use their money, international money, mercantile money. And what's mercantile money? Gold or some real collateral. And gold holds the whole thing together, right? So for international trade, I'm going to be trading gold with you. It's not unlike what the BRICS are doing. We're going to settle up our monthly current account in gold. Okay, that's international money. That's what they did in mercantilism. And within the country itself, you restrict the flow of capital by the normal people and you give them scrip. You give them paper money. And it's really how it used to be done. And the digital euro is that. So I would be even more depressed or more behind my own idea here if I saw Europe move closer to banning Bitcoin. You see, Bitcoin is an international trade vehicle. It goes across borders. They don't want anything that can go across borders except what they control, right? I mean, we're reversing everything that we had during Neo-Keynesianism. During Neo-Keynesianism, money flowed and people didn't. Right? The people stayed here, the money. Well, now they want to make sure that even if you flow, the money stays here. They want to keep their tax base ring-fenced. And gold is the collateral now, and the U.S. dollar is the liquidity using stablecoins. It's a little bit half-cocked, but I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I do want to show, I want to read on here the thing that made me go, oh yeah, that's right. Kim Gitz. She's a mutual on X. Her account's locked, but request to follow her. It's up to her. This is what she said, and I do have permission to show this. U.S. stablecoins are going to replace euro dollars, offshore dollars created by offshore banks via credit, backed by U.S. government swap lines, and perceived as too big to fail, with the thought that the U.S. will have to support them or face financial market contagion. This is her opinion. She's not speaking. I mean, this is a legitimate financial analyst, CFA, and, you know, she knows her shit, but, you know, she's just giving an opinion based on things that she's seen, similar to what we do here. These stable coins force a limit on leverage as they are one-to-one collateralized by U.S. treasuries. No more endless rehypothecation. The stablecoin empire, quote, part is that the U.S. has effectively regained control of the global reserve currency with U.S. stablecoins. All, or at least 75% of global trade will be backed by U.S. stablecoins if this works out via on-chain blockchain network providers. The remaining 25% will be Asia-centric, like a mini BRICS collateralized by what's looking to be gold. We will see on that. Our rule of law ain't great, but theirs is a disaster. Just ask the Uyghurs. And that's the Western's bet. And I think it actually, over time, they're going to, you know, over time, the BRICS are going to have to come to us, but we have to go to them first. The empire part is controlling all financial flows, next generation SWIFT. That's right. Via transparent blockchain tech. Transparent for us to the Fed. The big question is, what is the natural level of global trade, meaning that at what level of net importers, net exporters is long-term sustainable? Empires are about trade, control, and taxes. So to interpret what she's saying in the last part there, all this bicycle wheel that I drew, all this stuff works only if and only we actually become a nation that exports to generate taxation revenue, to reduce our debt. Otherwise, the dollar just becomes a puka shell that people use to hand back and forth. And there really is no value in our network other than the fact that it's overnight, like an ATM machine. So this is effective in buying us time, provided we show movement. So it's kind of like if I'm a nation looking at the U.S. saying, hey, that's pretty cool. I could be still involved with the U.S. I can be behind the velvet ropes of U.S. protection. I can ring fence my own tax base using CBDC. It's the best of both worlds. But I need to see progress on the debt stuff. Will you guys show me some progress on that? And that's how it evolves. Who knows? But the U.S. already knows that the world is multipolar. And they're using a mercantilist model to ring fence its own global reserve currency status. Look at all the people talking about stablecoins now. Come on. We're all in on this stuff, and it's pretty unsettling, actually. Related post, gold retakes 4,000 and new ledge is born. We're talking about the technical ledge that we think is here again. As long as gold is above 39.75, we're comfortable with that. NVIDIA CEO, China is going to win the AI race. That's a story that the FT put out, Zero Hedge covered, with a lot of in-depth analysis there. We just wanted to put out the our take on it in the context of the trade wars that are going on. The big story yesterday was silver was officially added as a critical mineral. We knew it would happen because you don't talk about it unless you're going to do it, and they talked about it. But it's nice to see it officially. Founders signs gold's bull froth is gone. The high-tech strategist put out an excellent letter, and we're subscribers to that. And there were two pieces in there of it that we felt were important. One was technical, and one was fundamental, things that we talked about, but we wanted to link technicality and fundamentals together, meaning central banks are buying. That's the fundamental side. And the technical side is we worked from overbought to almost oversold in a little over a week's time. And there's the GoldFix PM with a little more on that. There's the chat. I think I'll be stopping by there today, getting off of Twitter. It's depressing me. And the data today, unemployment is supposed to be out today. Who the hell knows if it's actually going to happen? I doubt it will. Charts. Okay, that's a little bit busy. And we're refreshing. Polytrends, we're becoming big fans of that. We'll talk more about that as time goes on. There's the channel that we drew. Okay, now within this channel, here's the 4,000 level. So within this channel, you're looking at the upper half of the channel. Whoops. Oh, well, I guess we'll just go back to this. I guess some random verification. Anyway, within the channel around the 4,000 area, there should be like a gravitational pull between 3970 and 4,030 in that area right there. Below that, you get a little nervous, but you still have the ledge. And then below that, you still have the 40 and 50-day moving averages. 40-day is a CEO technician's idea. Anyway, I'm Vince. Have a great day, everyone.
Well, thank you, Vincent, for today's report and another great week of coverage. Obviously, some fascinating times, a lot happening quickly. And even though we've seen the sell-off and then somewhat stabilization of the prices this week, it's just helpful to have Vince here with us every morning. Helpful to have everybody here together every morning. Sure appreciate you all being in the chat and hope you found it helpful and had fun. And real quick, before we wrap up, did just want to thank Fortuna Mining, who is our proud sponsor. And they also did have their third quarter results out this week, which came in with a $73.4 million free cash flow, which was up $16 million from the second quarter. So another strong quarter to third quarter as they remain on track for their annual production guidance. Cash costs remain below 1,000 per ounce, and the all-in sustaining cost at the mines is tracking within guidance. Saw a decrease at Lindero and are expecting similar improvements at Seguela thanks to key investments that were made and support the 2026 production guidance range of 160,000 to 180,000 gold ounces. Also on track for the construction decision at Diamasud in the first half of next year, and going to be aided because they have nearly $600 million in liquidity and $265.8 million in net cash, so puts them in a strong position that they can put some of their other projects into operation. And either case, we'll be catching up with Jorge next week and go over more of the details there, and just hope you are getting set for a wonderful, relaxing, and fun weekend, and we will see you again next week.